So we begin our afternoon of practice. And at this point in the retreat, it can be helpful to see if any helpful or unhelpful patterns of mind seem to be visible in our mindfulness practice. So I wanted to read this poem by the Sufi poet Rumi. And for many of us, because we live in a culture of comparison and competition, the habit of self-judgment can be very strong. So this is a, when that habit of judgment comes up, self-doubt, comparing mind, it can be really helpful to take a step back and see it as something that is arising due to impersonal conditions. Like a cloud passing through the sky. Oh, there's my old habit of judgment, my old habit of doubt. And likewise, you know, we have habits of judgment of others. So this is called Solomon's Crooked Crown. Solomon was busy judging others when it was his personal thoughts that were disrupting the community. His crown slid crooked on his head. He put it straight, but the crown went awry again. 8 times this happened. Finally, he began to talk to his headpiece. Why do you keep tilting over my eyes? I have to. When your power loses compassion, I have to show what such a condition looks like. Immediately, Solomon recognized the truth. He knelt and asked forgiveness. The crown centered itself on his crown. When something goes wrong, accuse yourself first. Even the wisdom of Plato or Solomon can wobble and go blind. Listen when your crown reminds you of what makes you cold towards others as you pamper the greedy energy inside. So to be aware of our habits of judgment, self-judgment as well as judgment of others. So the 5 faculties of what are called the 5 spiritual faculties, they lead us towards deepening in our practice, awakening wisdom. And in Buddhism, wisdom is a relational experience. So this is from the teachings of Ajahn Suchito, a monk, a British monk. Very self-deprecating, warm monk. He says, wisdom is a relational experience rather than a storehouse or corpus of knowledge. One becomes wise about cause and effect. And so we become alert to what's happening and how we are being affected. Because of this, the term discernment may in many cases be a more useful one. So discerning, looking for the connections between cause and effect. So when we have some momentum, as we do now in this last few hours of the retreat, we can begin to see more clearly what's happening in the mind. So there may be a habit of worry, or a habit of doubt or judgment. Instead of getting caught in the story and thereby generating a sense of self, is it possible to see the arising of this mental state as simply another phenomena? Like a sound, a sight, a sensation. So, through the momentum of our practice, through the awakening of faith, the application of energy, through returning to the moment in our mindfulness, through nurturing some concentration through that continuity, we now come to a place where there is some wisdom potential. So in the next sitting period, I'm going to invite you to notice, if you can, the difference between being caught in a mental state and simply being aware of it. So this is a different experience. See if you can notice that difference, what it feels like, what we're learning from it. So the difference between being absorbed into a habit pattern of worry or doubt or judgment, anxiety, and what it's like to have enough spaciousness to see the arising of that mental state, to be able to recognize it. Ah, there you are. There you are. I see you. I see you, doubt. I see you, judgment. I see you, worry. So just being able to recognize it and not turn away from it, but to see how it too has an ephemeral nature. It arises, it shifts and changes and dissipates in the warm light of awareness. So we're going to sit for about 40 minutes, and so the invitation is really just that, an invitation. It's not that we go looking for challenging mental states, but if they arise, to see if it's possible to notice the difference between being caught and simply being aware. Once again, establishing our posture. If it feels helpful, bringing some brightness to the mind by reflecting on our great good fortune to have encountered these teachings. May my practice be of benefit to myself and to all beings. Steadying the mind on the movement of the breath. Or if there seems to be some stability already established, just sitting back in the mind and observing the unfolding of phenomena, bringing this attitude of interest, care and concern. Without getting entangled. If there is some drowsiness, you may want to sit with your eyes slightly open, focusing on the floor in front of you. If you find you've been caught by a story, some train of thought about the future or the past, it can be helpful at times to investigate and see if there's some emotion that is giving rise to a repeating story. There's nothing special about the breath, except that for most people, it's a fairly neutral object to observe. As we become more continuous in our mindfulness, as the mind settles, there's enough stability to notice the arising of more challenging objects, such as difficult emotions. Ajahn Suchito writes, notice and give consideration to the fact that when you acknowledge and focus on your thoughts and emotions, the mind enters the experience of being aware of them rather than being them. Enhance that awareness by giving it emphasis, putting it to the fore, and disengaging from the activities of the mind and heart in order to know them more fully. Notice that you can do this for a few moments anyway, without denying, censoring, or proliferating about your mental behavior. Notice that a blend of clear attention and emotional spaciousness supports this kind of awareness, and that the results of it are that one is calmer and wiser with regard to the mind. Once this non-attachment or non-involvement is established, then one can work on applying goodwill to moods and thoughts that are affected by ill will, and renunciation to moods and thoughts that are affected by craving. So a couple more moments to notice what's happening in the mind. So we can notice these two habit patterns, some variation of wanting, reaching, longing, and some variation of not wanting or pushing away. So may we be at ease with the changing conditions of our lives. May we meet our experience, both inner and outer, with kindness and awareness. May we recognize the arising of difficult mental states without attaching a story. May we be at ease with things just as they are.